the preacher who jests and jokes all the time will soon find that he cannot stand in his pulpit on Sunday with power to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. He may be the life of the party, but it will be the death of the prophet. Now listen, you folks know me. I certainly try to have a sense of humor. I think we can enjoy church.
Amen.
But there's a time for sobriety.
Amen.
And self-examination and reflection when the Word of God is read and when the Word of God is preached. Thank God for the pulpit ministries that are going on at this time all around this country. I love America, by the way. I love America. There's so much about this land that I love that's truly amazing. And can I say this? Still, listen, I know, you know, she's not what she ought to be. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have so many blessings that we take for granted simply because at one point in our history, the Lord was the God of this nation. And by the way, He's still God here. Amen. And in churches like this, all over this country. One of the blessings, I was talking to the guys, we were out blitzing yesterday, Brother Brandon and myself and Tom Gilbert and Pastor Donald and Keith Sammons, amen. We just had a great time out doing our Operation Saturation. I said, you know, one of the biggest blessings that I noticed when I went to the Philippines that we take for granted, folks, is basic sanitation. The fact that your water that you have in your commodes is not the water you wash in, is not the water you drink, all those things. You know, when I think of one of the greatest blessings in America, and it's another one I think we really take for granted, it's the Dwight D. Eisenhower National System of Highways, or our interstate highway system. I think about that, and it totals, and I just did a little research on this, as of 2012, it totals 47,714 miles. Beginning in 1956, at a proposed cost of $25 billion over 12 years, but since it was a government project, it cost $114 billion over 35 years. Amen. But it is truly a marvel. Think of just I-75, ladies and gentlemen. I-75 stretches from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to the very bottom of Florida. Think about it. I-75. I think about a particular road that I have spent literally hundreds of hours on. And that is I-90. I-90 stretches from Boston, Massachusetts to Washington State. It is 3,100 miles long. And I remember being on I-90 several times, going to Fenway Park when we used to live in Massachusetts, amen. We go to Fenway Park and we'd park our car near Harvard Yard, amen. And that's the way they talk out there. And I remember many times, and then going off to Bible college and taking I-90 all through New York State, all the way, then into Pennsylvania, then into Ohio under Lake Erie, and then up through Toledo and getting on I-75. And I could literally go on and on. I-81, Brother Leonard, amen. I-81, I-80, it goes just a little bit under I-90 across through Pennsylvania. I think of where Carrie and I are from, I-91, which nobody here will know, but it's much like an I-94. It goes right up through Massachusetts and splits Vermont and New Hampshire right down the middle, right along the Connecticut River. I think of I-95 and all those trips I would go down to visit my fiance down in Virginia, who's my wife now. We have I-94 here, I-69 over there in Marshall, amen. And just, folks, I'm telling you what, we take these roads for granted. We really do. How wonderful they are, and they take us. You know, the road that we choose takes us to a specific destination, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Listen, if you want to get to Massachusetts, you can't get on I-75. It's not going to take you there. Not going to take you there. Amen. It's going to take you to Florida. Take you to Knoxville, Tennessee. But the road that we choose takes us to a specific destination. The Christian life is often referred to as a journey on a pathway or a road. You know, the Bible tells us about the road to heaven, doesn't it? It says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Jesus went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, the road to heaven is a narrow road. By the way, it's got room enough for everybody. But it is a narrow road. You know, see, all roads don't lead to heaven. The road of Jesus Christ, the Calvary road, the blood-stained road leads to heaven. There's a road to heaven. There's a road of righteousness. Remember when the psalmist in that blessed shepherd's psalm said, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's a road of God's Word. You find it in that psalm of God's Word that many of us know. And that's Psalm 119, verse 10 says, With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments, verse 10 says. Verse 35 says, Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments. And then he goes on to say in verse 165, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, I'll tell you what. As you're walking on this road of life, make sure you've got a light. Make sure you got the light. Boy, at night at our place, you got to make sure you turn on the light. Why? Because where we walk in the back path, there's leaves. And my mother has dogs. And the dogs leave presents. And it helps to have a light. You know what? You need this light right here as you walk along the path of life. You need this light. The road of God's Word. The road of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 talks about the path of wisdom. It says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. You see, if you want to get to the right place, you've got to get on the right road. And if you want to get away from the wrong place, you got to get off the wrong road, the wrong path. I've told the story before. Carrie and I, when we used to go home, we used to cut through Canada. And it was before 9/11, and you could do that. And it was good. It would literally shave off 2.5 hours. You didn't have to go under Cleveland and Lake Erie and go all through Pennsylvania. You could go from Sarnia. You could go from Port Huron to Niagara Falls, right across, 3 hours. And there was a time, Brother Tom, we were traveling along, 402, 401, missed 403, very important. 403 takes you to Niagara Falls. Staying on the 401 takes you to Toronto, which I had never seen before. Beautiful city, especially at night. My wife is sleeping. She looks along and says, Boy, I don't ever remember seeing that city before. I said, Yeah, it's kind of nice, isn't it? And then I recalled, Wait, we've been on this road many times. I don't think I've ever seen that city before either. And we realized, Brother Lem, we had gone 50 miles out of the way. Well, you know what we had to do? We had to turn around and get on the right road. Yes. Listen, if you're on the wrong road, that's taking you to some wrong actions, that's taking you to some shameful places, time to turn around.
Yep.
Time to get on the right road. These roads we're looking at. There's the road of the just, Proverbs 4:18 tells us. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. the context of our message today. If you go back to Romans and look at it, we see in verses 1 through 7, very common for the Apostle Paul, he begins with a salutation to the people of God there in Rome. And he talks about who he is and gives his authorship, and we get some great doctrine in there, especially in verse 3 and 4, in declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. I want to tell you this morning, Buddha is dead and in the grave. Listen, Muhammad is dead and in the grave. Take any religious leader. Charles Taze Russell, who founded the Jehovah's Witnesses, is dead and in the grave. Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormons, is dead and in the grave. But Jesus Christ is alive and raised from the dead. Thank God. Amen. That's our Savior. He's alive. He showed Himself to be the Son of God with power. Amen. Raised from the dead. Well, he has the salutation. And then in verses 8 through 10, we see his ambition. Really, verses 8 through 15. But you see it in verse 10. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. So what was Paul's ambition? He wanted to go to Rome. He didn't want to go to Rome to see the Colosseum. He wanted to go to Rome to see the Roman Christians. Amen? By the way, that were being thrown into the Colosseum. Come on. That were being persecuted. He wanted to get there. He wanted to see them. I love verses 16 and 17. I call it the demolition. Not only the salutation and the ambition, but we see the demolition in verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, what a great verse that is. Amen, church? We ought never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many times we don't speak out for Christ because we're afraid. And you know what that is? It's being ashamed. We should never be ashamed of the one who was never ashamed of us. Amen? He says there, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then we see in verses 17 and 18, we see the revelation. It says in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Wherein? What's that therein referring to? It's referring to the gospel. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean there? The demolition and the revelation." Hey, you want to see the demolition of the gospel in somebody's life revealed? Just look at the change God can make through the gospel. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I think sometimes we forget what we were before Christ saved us. People sometimes, and listen, I give my testimony, and I want to give it around Thanksgiving again in a little different fashion. But people say, "Well, you know, you're giving glory to the devil." I promise you I'm not. I want people to know what I was before Jesus Christ came into my life. And I want to always remember what I was. Because I'll tell you what, folks, we can get filled with pride. Biggest problem among preachers is P-R-I-D-E, pride. Think about that. Think about that demolition, that word, the power of God there in verse 16. It's the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from that. Hey, you know what? You know what people need? You know what that cussing person needs at your work? They need the dynamite of the gospel to blow them up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Boy, because I'll tell you what, it'll blow up the wickedness, won't it? It'll change somebody's life for all eternity. The gospel. The gospel is revealed from faith to faith. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. But ladies and gentlemen, there's another revelation. There's not only the revelation of the gospel of God. Look at verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed. Is revealed from heaven. Boy, there's a sermon missing out of most pulpits. The wrath of God. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen. Our God's not the sweet old man up in the sky. He's holy and righteous and just and angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. Wrath. Righteously indignant. You say, well, He created people that way. No, He didn't either. You don't know your Bible. No, He didn't either. He gave man a free will and a choice. Think about that. The wrath of God. The Gentile is shown in verse 1 here as being guilty of sin. But by the way, God doesn't stop there. In chapter 2, the Jew is shown to be guilty of sin. And then in Romans 3, God brings it all to a conclusion in verse 10 when He said, there is none righteous, no, not one. See, there's no one in this room that's righteous before God in his own works and in his own life. There's only one way to be righteous before God, whether you're Gentile or Jew or anybody else, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. These verses, in verses 18 through 32, Charles Fuller, great revivalist of the 1940s and 50s, the old-fashioned revival hour. You can still get some of the broadcasts. He said this, these verses record God's true, unretouched photograph of the human heart. Here in these verses, we find the terrible possibilities, the sinful potentialities of the natural, unregenerated heart. And ladies and gentlemen, God's wrath is revealed as Romans moves from the gospel in verses 16 through 17 to godlessness. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. God does have a day of wrath. God has the tribulation where He pours out His wrath on this earth. But also, if you read Revelation chapter 20, you find out of a day of God's wrath, of the great white throne judgment, when sinners, unregenerated, those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, will be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone forever and ever. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. God has a day of wrath appointed for those who do not flee to safety. Those who do not flee to His side. But can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? The text that we are looking at tells us that God's wrath is revealed. Now listen to me. It's revealed, first of all, look at verse 18. It tells us what it's revealed against. How we can see it today in society, God's wrath. It's revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen, do you know there are people in pulpits today that are saying this is not the Word of God? There are people in pulpits today that are saying, oh, the miracles, creation, first 12 chapters of Genesis, Uncle Joe. Don't need that. That's just an allegory. That's just some fictional story. Jonah swallowed by a whale. Yeah, right. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. Not condemning what God condemns. Amen. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. And you know what God says? I am currently, right now, pouring out my wrath. And you see it through that. You not only see why He's pouring it out, but you see something else there. Or you see what it's being poured out. Or you see why it's poured out. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, because that, why is God pouring out His wrath? Why is God showing us just a glimpse of His wrath? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So God is pouring out His wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. God is pouring out His wrath because of man's rejection of Him and utter ingratitude. We were talking in our Sunday school class about the things that we take for granted going on in our body. Bless, little Sarah Wells has a friend whose little baby, Brittany Miller, is not able to nourish, is allergic to so many things. I wonder how many of us take that for granted when we feed our babies. You know what it ought to cause us to do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? God's pouring out His wrath on a rejecting society, on an ungrateful world. Not only the what and the why, but it tells us how it's accomplished. Look at verse 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what God says? Okay. Have it your way. Have it your way. Now, that may be a good slogan for Burger King, but it's not a good slogan for society. You want the example of that? If you go back to Proverbs chapter 1, allow me to read it to you. He says here in verse 23 of Proverbs 1, God says, turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. What a gracious offer, Brother Jeff. What a gracious offer that is. Then it says, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation cometh to a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Frightful verses, ladies and gentlemen. Frightful verses. He says he accomplishes this pouring out of the wrath of God through a reprobate mind. And then, by the way, you can see it manifested so easy. I'm just going to read the verses, ladies and gentlemen. It's not hard to understand what they mean. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet or proper, is what that word means. Doesn't take a lot of explaining to see that in our society. God's wrath is being poured out. And by the way, if you read verses 29 through 32, all those manners of what a laundry list of wickedness. And then the amazing part is the end of verse 32. It says, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. They know it's wrong, and they keep doing it. By the way, you're not off the hook. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is telling us here how wicked the Gentile can be. He tells us in chapter 2 how wicked the Jew can be. And He brings it all to a conclusion that we're all condemned sinners. We're all on this road to God's wrath. I've got 10 minutes. And I'm going to give you these 6 points. And I promise you, I will be right on time. I want to preach to you roadblocks on the highway of God's wrath. See, if you've ever been on a road and there was a sign up that said, road closed, turn around. That's what God has given us on this highway of His wrath. See, the highway of His wrath leads to the lake of fire. Like it, lump it, don't believe it, don't care. It leads to the lake of fire. It leads to hell.
That's right.
And God has put up roadblocks for us. Praise His name. You know, the first roadblocks He gives us is conscience, number one. Conscience. Look at verse number 20, please. I'm sorry, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. If you go over just a page and look at Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Ladies and gentlemen, the first roadblock that God puts on the highway of His wrath is conscience. And that is simply this: there is a God-sized hole in every man. We know that there's a God. Brother Steve Sammons and I were talking about this the other day. Go into the deepest, darkest tribes in Africa or South America, and you know what they do? They worship a God. They know that there is a God because God plants that inside of us, in our conscience. Dr. Malone used to say, some people are educated beyond their intelligence. And they're seen in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A lot of professing professors. Conscience, number one. The fact that we know there's a God inside of us. It tells us our conscience bearing witness. There's a second thing in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The second roadblock that God puts on the way to hell, on the highway of His wrath, is not only conscience, but creation. We look around, ladies and gentlemen. We see birds. We see animals. We see trees. We see lots of leaves. I raked yesterday and raked and raked and raked. I came out this morning and looked like I hadn't even raked. Creation screams, there's a God. There's a God. There's a God. What does the Bible say? The firmament showeth His handiwork. The firmament show night unto night and day after day uttereth speech. You look at a sunset and tell me there's no God, I'll tell you, you're wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By faith, we understand that the heavens were framed by the Word of God. Creation. You think about the human body alone, ladies and gentlemen. The human body alone screams there's a God. Your eye right now is focusing so many thousands of times a second. You just move like this, move like your eye just did incredible things. You tell me that wasn't created. You tell me that evolved. I'll tell you, you're a fool. You think that. My goodness. Years ago, I heard what I thought was the best argument against evolution. Which evolved first? The circulatory system or the digestive system? Think about those, folks. Either your finger's falling off or you got bigger problems. Amen? No, they need to be fully functional from the start. Created! Creation screams, there's a God. Don't go down that highway of God's wrath. It's a roadblock. Conscience, creation. Oh, I think about the commandments. two commandments. This is a roadblock. God says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, I'm thankful for the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. It tells us of the sinner's helplessness and the sovereign's thoughtfulness. It tells us of our need of salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us of the provision of salvation. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It tells us of the ease of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ever wonder why the devil tampers with this book so much? Because it is the best roadblock on the highway of God's wrath. It's the biggest road. Boy, I think of a couple more. I think of conscience and creation and commandments. I think of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says one of the Holy Spirit's ministries in John 16, 7 and 8 is that He will reprove the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. I remember sitting in a service just like this, and I remember the preacher giving the invitation and all of us standing, and the Holy Ghost convicting me that I was a sinner, that I was guilty of sin, that I was on the highway of God's wrath. Acts chapter 2, they said that they were pricked to the heart. They were literally just pricked to the heart. Convicted. Remember Felix, when Paul preached unto Felix? And in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, it says, Felix trembled. What was that? Conviction. By the way, let me say this, and I mean this with all my heart. No conviction, no conversion. I mean that. No conviction, no conversion. You're not convicted about sin. You're not convicted about the fact that you're going on to hell. You think you can just puppet a prayer? I'm telling you, it's not the way it is. God's got to convict you of your sin. You've got to know you need to be saved and want to be saved. It's one of the reasons I don't believe in Calvinism. Reason number 4,830 why I don't believe in Calvinism. Amen. The conviction of the Spirit. How about, ladies and gentlemen, the conscience, the commandments, the creation, the conviction. How about the crucifixion, ladies and gentlemen? How about the crucifixion? That's a roadblock on the way to God's wrath. That's a roadblock on the way to God's wrath. It says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Luke 23:33. I'm going to tell you something. If you go all the way to the end of God's highway of wrath and you die and go to hell, you will step over the broken body of the Savior who died on the cross with His blood, with His pierced hands and His bloody side. The crucifixion is God's roadblock. Don't go there. Don't go down the end of God's highway of wrath. Don't go there. Can I give you the last thing and I'll be done? Conscience, creation, the commandments, conviction, the crucifixion, compassion. 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 Compassion of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Something none of us would ever give. Come on. Why? He's so full of compassion. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Compassion of God. How about the compassion of the Son of God? Galatians 2:20 says about Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. But then, can I end with this? The compassion of God, the compassion of God's Son. And can I end with this as a challenge to God's people? The compassion of God's servants. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's somebody that's waiting to be saved.
Amen.
That needs you to have compassion. And here's the good news. Brother Merrill, you're saved and I'm saved because somebody had compassion.
Amen.
Just this month, 20 years ago, a Sunday school teacher in a little church who was also an airplane mechanic that I worked with gave me 2 gospel tracts. Because the Bible says in Jude 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference.
Yep. Making a difference. Amen.
So here's my challenge to you, church. Whose life are you making a difference in? Who are you roadblocking? You physically yourself. You're on that road. You turn the other way. You're on the road of righteousness, but going this way is the road to wrath. Who are you with your flags going like this to? Don't go this way. Who are you having compassion on? You know you've got neighbors that are not saved. I've got neighbors that are not saved. You know, there's things coming up you could invite them to. We have our Christmas cantata, our choir, and our actors are working so hard on. Why don't you have compassion on? You say, but what if they say no? Then they say no.
Yeah, right.
But they're not going to say yes if you don't ask. If you're not moved with compassion. Hey, sinner here today, maybe you're not saved and you are on that road of wrath.
Yeah.
Time to get off.
Amen.
Yeah.
Time to get off. Hey, you know what? Take the exit of conscience. You know there's a God. Take the exit of creation. You know there's a God that made all things. Take the exit of His commandments, what the Word of God says about the life that we're living. You know, when I got saved, it wasn't hard for me to look and say, I know I'm a sinner. I knew the life I was living wasn't in proper alignment with that book. Not even close. Not even close. The commandments. How about the crucifixion? How about the crucifixion? Look at what Jesus did because of sin and for your sins and my sins. How about conviction? The Holy Spirit right now is saying yes, 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 yes to everything I'm saying. Not because I'm saying it, because it's in agreement with that book.
Yeah.
And then lastly, how about compassion? How about compassion? God puts somebody in your place to show you your sin. Sometimes, as fundamental Christians, we're not good at the presentation. We point out the sin, but we don't always do it in love. I promise you, there's no hate in my heart for anybody described in that chapter. None.
Right.
But it's the compassion to be able to say, but listen, you're heading down the wrong road.
Yeah.
If somebody's house is on fire, I don't say, well, maybe it'll go out. I scream loudly, your house is on fire! Get out! Amen.
That's right.
Listen, if you're on God's road of wrath, time to get off.
Yeah.
Get off on the exit.
Amen.
Before it's eternally too late. Hey, Christians, you know what? Let's be that last person waving the flag in compassion.
Amen.
Let's start. Listen. Let's start waving the flag again in compassion.
Right.
Let's start waving the flag. Let's start putting these in our pockets again and not just leaving them there.
Amen.
Let's not have a stack at home this big. Amen. Well, Pastor said put them in your pocket, so I take them in my pocket and bring them home. Amen. No, don't you pass them out. Leave them everywhere you go. Why? Because this right here is compassion. You know why? On the back it says, are you 100% sure that if you died today, heaven would be your home? Yes, you can know. Father, bless you.